Hey, this is Tools Day, and I'm Yuna. I am going to have a little bit of a longer intro song for you today. Not necessarily about the show that we're going to be having today, which is about Gatsby.js, but it is about array methods, so I figured y'all would like it anyway, or at least I hope you do. We'll see. Here's the song. When you don't know with which array method to go, you've got map, reduce, and filter. You can use them all together. You can use a map when you want all your values back. With a little bit of a transform, you'll return them as a pack. If you've got a few, but only some values pass as true, you'll want to use a filter to return the ones that do. And finally, reduce is the perfect thing to use if you want a single output, like a recipe for juice. When you don't know with which method to go, remember map, reduce, and filter. You can use them all together right now.
For episode 100, we will publish an album.
One day. If you are new, welcome to our podcast. My name is Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And we are talking about Gatsby.js today. This is, we totally messed that up.
It's fine.
Welcome to our podcast. We talk about tech tools, tips, and tricks every other Tuesday at 2 and sometimes get the intro right.
Yeah, we used to get it right all the time. Well, if you go back to episode 1 to 10, it was like, bam, it was so good.
We were in the same room, and that's the big difference. Like, me and Chris used to work in the same place. We used to sit in the same room and record, and now we've got like this FaceTime going. I've got things on my screen. I don't even see his face right now. I'm gonna look at it.
Oh, yeah. Hi, hello. Okay.
We both moved. We both changed jobs, and we've kept this podcast going, which is pretty cool. So before we dive in to our show today, which is a Cubs episode, which means Chris and Yuna build stuff, where we actually use the technology and just make something and then talk about what we made and our trials and tribulations with it, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. We actually have two sponsors today. They are Datadog and Sentry. So let's start with Datadog. Datadog is a software as a service based monitoring platform that provides dev and ops teams with a unified view of all of their systems, applications, and services. You'll be a part of thousands of organizations who already rely on Datadog to collect, visualize, and alert them of abnormalities. There are 200 plus turnkey integrations, including AWS, Postgres, Kubernetes, and Slack, all done out of the box with custom metrics to gain full stack observability with a unified view of all of your systems, apps, and services. Other key features include real-time visibility from customizable dashboards, algorithmic alerts like anomaly detection, outlier detection, forecasting alerts, end-to-end request tracing to visualize app performance, and real-time collaboration, which is something that me and Chris had to do when I got stuck with the Gatsby thing.
Good times.
VS Code is cool, y'all.
VS Code is amazing.
Datadog is offering listeners a free trial, and as an added bonus for signing up and creating a dashboard, they'll send you a free t-shirt that has a dog on it. So start a free trial today at datadog.com/toolsday. Remember, that is datadog.com/toolsday, datadog.com/toolsday, for your free t-shirt and free dashboard.
Awesome. All right.
Okay.
Cubs Gatsby edition.
The meat.
Yeah. Where's the beef?
I had tacos today. I made some. It was turkey, though.
I made pasta from scratch today.
Nice.
Okay. Anyways.
Cooking podcast. All right. So Gatsby. We talk about Gatsby.js a lot on the show. Chris is a Gatsby fanboy. I'm a Gatsby fangirl, but not as much as Chris.
Hang on. Okay. I want to qualify. I'm not a Gatsby fanboy. Okay, I just see that Gatsby has some great uses. And for those particular uses, I'm a big fan of using Gatsby.
Okay, well, I'm going to say I'm a fangirl because I'm a fangirl of anything I like to use.
Okay, all right.
It's just general term. It's general term.
Okay.
But in our last episode, we kind of got into our devolutions for this year, and Chris is like really diving in with Gatsby and making a template. Is that what you built this week?
So I'm making so right now it's a theme, right? So there, and Gatsby has two concepts of extensible projects. It has starters, which are basically you clone down a GitHub repo, and or you put Gatsby create and you pass in a starter name, and it will basically set up a Gatsby project for you with a bunch of things already set up. It could be templates, it could be layouts, it could be, you know, plugins, it could be a whole bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah. Gatsby has a massive list of starter templates, which is actually what I think makes it really user-friendly.
Yeah, so that's a starter template. The downside of templates is that once you clone it down, it's now its own source of truth. There's no updating a template. So if I was a template author and I noticed a bug in my template, if I fixed the bug, anybody who cloned down the repo obviously is not getting that fix, mm-hmm. right? Which is where themes come in, where themes are essentially in your Gatsby config, you say themes, and you put a theme name, and then it basically extends everything that Gatsby starter project, or theme rather, has configured. So that could be the plugins, it can be the pages, it can be the Gatsby node, Gatsby SSR, Gatsby browser APIs, usages. It basically duplicates everything that project is doing just by saying theme, Gatsby theme, whatever it is.
Wait. So when you do that and you run yes. Gatsby develop, does yeah. it build out those files then?
So some Gatsby themes can be as simple as just a literal theme, like CSS variables. And so it could say, hey, for the pages you have in your own pages folder in Gatsby. So Gatsby has that pages structure, right? So in pages, everything there becomes a page. It could be as simple as just adding styling. In my case, I have a project which is a theme, which essentially takes a folder of docs, a docs folder, and turns that into a website. It's the same thing as a starter basically, but it's like a dependency. It's like an npm install dependency and then required dependency, right?
Interesting. So like the way that their templates work now is it's a starter template. It's like a GitHub repo. I mean, if you yeah. find a bug, you can submit an issue,
right.
and you're just cloning it locally. And they're kind of like yep. helping with an interface on their website of finding these templates.
Yep.
But you're saying themes are the same thing, except you use the config file for them, and then it yes. creates the files yeah. instead of you cloning down everything.
So it doesn't create the files. It just it pretends like the files are there. So when you extend a theme,
okay.
you install the theme as a dependency, right? So all the themes files are in your node modules folder somewhere. And Gatsby knows to go and looks for that for those files and
so it's more
set
like,
up.
It's more like it's a architecture for the base of the project. It's not the pages themselves and compose themselves.
It is both.
I'm
right?
confused. How?
Okay. So a Gatsby project is made up of pages, layouts, and templates. Or sorry, components, pages, and templates. All right.
Yes.
And so a theme is nothing but a Gatsby project that's already configured, right? So it may have some things already there for you.
Okay, but if you have like a component, say header, yep. that comes with like all the starter themes, right?
Yep.
A starter template, sorry.
Yeah.
So you see it physically inside of
yes.
your repo, but with theme,
right.
what's the difference there?
Right, you would not see that file. You would not see the header file. It does exist inside the theme, but it's not there for you. So
okay, so you can call it down. You can import it. But you can't change the file?
Correct. You cannot change the file. So I think for most use cases of themes, it is when you want to plug in your own set of data into somebody else's architecture, right? So if you know you have a database you want to query, or you know if you have, in my case, a bunch of doc files, MD markdown files you want to query, and you want to plug that source of data into somebody else's architecture, themes become super cool.
No, that makes sense too.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
yeah.
I think a header wouldn't make as much sense for a theme, but like a
right.
button component or anything
yeah.
that's reusable, where you can
yeah.
send props as the data that's going to be like what the button maybe says or does.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. So a theme, I'm now getting it. Like a theme is like a template, except less customizable to what the text on the page is and more like the underlying components that will build up that page.
Yes, kind of. So the tricky part of themes is that it's still experimental. They released a blog post about it in November. There's a Spectrum channel for people who are wanting to dive in. It's not well documented per se
yes.
yet, but it's...
I think there's a few things that it could use some better documentation.
Yes, it's a kind of cool concept. It's not really found anywhere else mm-hmm. that I've seen. It's pretty cool, but
it is a cool concept because a lot of time people do want to do that. They just have some data they want to put in a page. They can make their own pages, they can make their own components and templates, but then if you're giving them like a starter theme, which could be a design system, that's like one example, they could use those components and build things out.
Sorry, I'm going to backtrack some statements. I'm trying to think how you would use those specific components in your own custom files.
Well, my idea here is like, okay, button example. You have your button component that you could import that lives in your theme. Then you can send props into it and use those props to kind of like determine what the button looks like and does. It would be like using any other React type component library. And like cards, you could send information, you could send user profile information if you have like a user profile card, like that kind of thing, and like populate that item. You can import your data, like your own API data using GraphQL, Gatsby. Like, I don't know. I've never used themes. This is just like my idea of how you would use themes.
Right. So some of that's true. I don't think you use specific components, but it's basically, I think the biggest, let me backtrack like 10 steps. Basically, a theme, the best case for themes I've seen so far is somebody else leveraging Gatsby APIs to do stuff for you, and you want to plug in your own data. You wouldn't really import button, but maybe in the theme, there's a typography file in Gatsby, right? Maybe the theme already has a typography file, which has a bunch of types in it for you. So when you put an H1 file, H1 component, it's styled like the theme's H1. Or maybe the theme is using the Gatsby Node create pages API, and so when you clone the theme and start using the theme in your own project, that create pages API will run using the code from the theme without you having to do anything.
So like custom functions that.
Right. Yeah. So things that just go that just work without you doing anything, and so.
Okay. So it's like a scaffolding essentially.
It's like scaffolding. It's like scaffolding. Okay.
What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that Yeoman application that let you build Yeoman out? It had a bird as the logo.
Yeoman.
Well, Yeoman was the other one, but it was like Yeoman. But yeah, that's like Yeoman Bauer? Generator. That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeoman was the dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
But there was a bird one too. I forgot what it is.
Yeah. I don't remember.
They both kind of went together as like, these are your scaffolding tools. Anyway. Okay, anyways. Cool. I haven't played with themes. I was just trying to understand what they were by speaking.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not doing them justice because I'm using them for a very specific use case.
Okay, what's your use case?
So my use case is that where I'm expecting somebody to bring me a folder of Markdown files, and in return, I will provide them a fully functioning documentation site with like navigation, with search, with layout that's very readable and easy to consume, all that stuff.
Wow, this sounds like a project that I did a couple of years ago, like for documentation of a design system, where it was, here's a folder structure and then like built out a, I don't remember if it was Yeoman or some kind of generator around it. It was I think written in Ruby.
Yeah, it's not a tremendously new idea. There's a bunch of stuff this is a way for Gatsby to do it, and Gatsby brings with it like some really cool stuff. Like it, you know, it's static generated HTML. You can run the Gatsby's image processing through it, which is really performant images and all that.
Yeah, processing so good.
Right. So for me, it's like a way to leverage Gatsby to make this, you know, documentation creation process even easier. So
cool. How far along? How's it going?
I've got almost everything but search working. I'll say that some of the biggest tripping points I've had is that the Gatsby documentation, while amazing for getting started, kind of disappears in the advanced use cases. And so you'll like go through the website and you'll click like, "Hey, docs," and they have like a spot for that doc. And then you click it and it says, "Needs to be created," or some wording like that. And I'm like, oh no.
That's like literally the story of every API.
Yeah, I'm like, it's good, but I wish you had not put it here. I don't know. I'm happy they have a stub
I
guess.
It's good that they're acknowledging it exists, you know, rather than like you feeling like, am I crazy? I can't find this.
Right, so that part is good. But so there's a bunch of things I've run into with some of the APIs that it wasn't what I was expecting, or you know, the doxycycline wasn't there. Like there's like a, this whole life cycle concept in Gatsby. Like there's a React where, you know, it does a whole bunch of processing. And some of the things are in a different order than I thought they'd be in. And it feels like Gatsby documentation is not designed for people like me who are trying to use their Create Pages API to like build out a full site for somebody. Mm-hmm. And so a bunch of the things, like there's an OnCreate Webpack plugin, essentially API that you can, you know, you can use to modify the Webpack plugins if you want to do some stuff with. And I don't remember what I was doing anymore, but I have, it is called after the Create Pages call. So if you're me and you're generating these pages for other people, you cannot actually use a bunch of the APIs because this Create Pages API happens so early that everything else just doesn't work. And so that was just kind of an odd moment for me where I was trying to figure things out, and then it eventually came up, oh yeah, it just doesn't work this way in Gatsby. And so
yeah, and I can see how that wouldn't get documented, because people who are working on that kind of stuff like either know or ask somebody who knows.
Yeah. What were your tripping points, if any?
I'll get into those after I say thank you to our next sponsor, which is Sentry.io. Sentry's motto is, our code is broken, let's fix it together. So that can also be summed up by our experience.
Yep.
Relying on customers to report errors, essentially treating them as an offsite QA team, is not good. It's rude to customers and bad for business. Ideally, this would be solved with tests. Why not just cover every scenario with a test? Then life would be perfect and fine and great. Because here in reality, humans are pretty bad at writing tests. Not just because we're all kind of lazy, but also because it's true. We can't anticipate every single way users are going to use and interact with our product. That's like definitely been my experience as a developer. They might do something really, really, really bizarre, or something really, really, really smart that we didn't think about, but usually something bizarre. That's why Sentry tells you about errors in your code before your customers have a chance to encounter them. Not only do they tell you about those errors, but they also give you all the details you need to be able to fix them. You'll see exactly how many users have been impacted by a bug, the stack trace, the commit that error was released as a part of, which is crazy fidelity, the engineer who wrote that line of code to get even more specific, and a lot more. Chris, you actually use Sentry.io, right?
And I had a great use case last week. My back-end developer said, hey, here's a bug. Sentry.io alerted us, and it gave me exactly what you just said, that down to the line, who made it? It was me.
And, that's all you got alerted.
And yeah, so.
I'll blame no shame, Chris. That's our motto at Bustle. I'll blame no shame.
Wait. Okay.
It's a positive thing.
Okay, it sounds kind of negative, but.
Well, you know, the whole idea is like, don't be ashamed if it's your line of code, but we're also going to, you know, let you know that it's your bug. So check out Sentry.io and get your code fixed today. That's Sentry.io, Sentry.io. All right, so we're going to get into my Gatsby project this week. And so what I did was I built a landing page for a project that I kind of talked about also last week, which was Daily Dev Dollop. I'm doing a project where every day I actually read a article or watch a video and like actually consume some like web-related content instead of just like skimming it. And so I wanted to just create like a little landing page and make it a little bit easier to see all the tweets that I have tweeted, all the links that I have been sharing, and like who wrote that thing. I want to like give a shout out to the authors. So I built it. It's called dailydevdollop.com. You can go there now. It's hosted on Netlify. Yay, built with Gatsby.
Yay.
And I'm using the Twitter API. But I'm using like the standard Twitter API instead of paying for premium versions, which means that I only get 10 days apparently of tweet information.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how their standard API works. They only send you 10 days. So I was like preparing to do pagination, and like I did all this math for like max ID, and like I was like getting ready to do it. And then I realized like, oh, I can't even get longer than 10 days. I can get 31 days with the premium APIs, and then maybe more, but I have to pay for it. And I didn't even know how to get to that pay tier. So I was just like, ugh. To do for later. Launched this like literally 3 hours ago, so I'll figure it out. I also want you to be able to like and retweet from the website, which I haven't figured out yet also. And I'm pretty new to this kind of stuff. But it was definitely fun to work with. I used a plugin that you, Chris, like showed me, which was Twitter source Gatsby. Gatsby
Twitter source.
That, yeah. We'll link all the projects.
Gatsby source Twitter, rather.
Gatsby source Twitter. Okay, none of those combinations.
Yeah.
And it was nice in that it let you just kind of plug in your variables. I felt like that plugin wasn't that well documented. There was a few things in there, like you had to get this extra key created.
The Twitter API key?
Yeah, so let me find what it was called. It's called a bearer token. Which is for OAuth 3, and that's like all well and good, but you have to run like not a special command. You just have to run like a curl command with your keys to get it. And so I had to like then find that line inside of the Twitter API.
Yeah.
You know. And then I also like kind of got a little fumbled up when I was trying to make the GraphQL call, but I was doing it inside of a component. I was very confused because it's not data in that case. You have to do a static query, which I learned from Chris, when you're doing it inside of a component. But if you do it inside of a template, then you don't use a static query. And I still don't really understand why. And it's also not really documented anywhere that I could find.
So they have like it is documented, but just a couple layers deeper. Right. So like if you go through the querying data, I'm looking at it right now, just make sure I was not making things up. It is there, but it's like five pages deep in where it's like, hey, by the way, there is static query and there is page query. And static query is something they released in V2, which lets you make a GraphQL query in any page prior or any file,
any component,
either a component or a page, or anywhere in your Gatsby source, you can drop in static query from Gatsby and then make a query to your GraphQL layer that Gatsby gives you, with a big caveat that you cannot pass in variables. And the big gotcha is that if you're on a component, you can only use static query. You cannot use the page query or just the normal stuff.
So that was what was confusing to me, because all the examples that are in the like getting set up are in a page query.
Yeah.
And I would just assume that you can do query calls inside of a component because that seems like a standard thing.
Yeah.
And then also when I was using this, when I was building it, like here's like a fun little fact. It doesn't build properly right now, so it's a bug, but you have to send the whole query inside of static query. You can't use like a variable and then like render the query with that variable. You have to put it inside of the static query component. So like kind of makes your code a little bit messier.
Yeah.
But like if you get stuck on that, it's just another random little
Sorry. I went through I just met with the site. It's in, so you're right. In the tutorial, they only ever show page query. But in the full docs, they have static query. But if you're like a new person to Gatsby, you're not going to go to the full docs, which is going to be in the tutorial. But if you have done component code before, you're going to inherently just build components. And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's just definitely a blind spot in the docs.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody from Gatsby is listening and they could change it.
Yeah.
but what I was doing is basically I was making a tweet list component. And I wanted that component to call the Twitter API because I didn't want to call it on the page and then pass it to the component. I felt like that was kind of weird, like separating that when it was really just in the component scope. So anyway, it ended up being all good and dandy when Chris helped me out. I was just like, why isn't this working?
VS Code live share is astounding.
Yeah, that was cool.
we did a quick live share through that, and you could share your local host, your terminal, share your editor. It's so cool. Sorry. All right.
Yeah. You installed I installed a plugin. You had the plugin.
Yeah.
And the extension was called LiveShare, right?
Yeah. LiveShare. Yeah.
And so basically it creates this connection and like you're screen sharing, but not. You're sharing that window.
Yeah. It's bonkers. You're sharing your entire project basically. And then.
Oh, right. Because you have access to the entire folder structure in there.
Yeah. And then shared a localhost, which is the Gatsby instance, so I could go to the Gatsby graphical page on my computer and like check out how the data was working and verify it was working properly, and like we can all console logs things out together. It's insane.
That's
so
what
cool.
was like driving me crazy because the graphical showed the data was working. It just was my component was saying like, can't find all tweet. It's like, what are you talking about? It's right here.
And that's kind of and you, what you ran into is basically what you know. It's an offshoot of what I ran into, kind of, where their docs are great for the happy path scenario, but if you are a person who's done other code before, and you're trying to bring in some of that experience and knowledge into the Gatsby environment with some of the docs sometimes just don't have those steps in. So,
Well, it's React based, so I just assume React workflow with Gatsby, and it's true for the most part. But then it does have the special like sort of pages, templates, components situation. So there are a few caveats there to sort of know about.
Yeah. The other thing I ran into is that there is some like convenience methods Gatsby does for you that it doesn't really tell you about. So if you're not expecting it, it'll just like. Just doesn't work. So one thing I was doing was that, so my thing is, you know, I try to read a folder structure to, you know, grab files. And so what I was doing is that I was grabbing the file URL path and using that as a kind of a key. And so I was passing it through the Gatsby GraphQL layer. And apparently Gatsby says, oh, if this looks like a string that's a directory path, I'm just going to turn it completely into a new type of node called file, which is all the information about that file, but not the specific path I passed in. And I just spent like 2 hours just like crawling through the internet trying to find what on earth was happening. And so, just some stuff like that. That's gotchas. But
that's funny. There's another like funny thing to know. And so I was starting to use environment variables when I was working with this.
Yeah.
And also, I want to say, like, some of the plugins are really awesome. Like, React plugin helmet. Like,
oh, so
Gatsby
cool.
plugin React helmet basically lets you put, like, information into the head. Also, there's an SEO plugin that's really cool. Yeah. And it just lets you, like, write out all your meta tags in SEO and makes it very nice and convenient. And then, like, some of these links inside of the Gatsby config are relative paths. And, like, I started with the Gatsby starter just to have like something to start with, and it comments that out, but I wouldn't always know because like it starts at just source/images.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't always know that. And also like sometimes it automatically will like pull from like node modules, you know, when you import things, but I don't know if it does that in this file.
Yeah. I mean, We're kind of ragging on Gatsby a little bit right now, but
no,
like,
but we love it. Like, that's we love the thing. It. I think this is well deserved, actually, because we talk about Gatsby all the time and how nice it is for React developers.
Yeah.
And so I like that we are having an episode where we kind of like are diving into it more and talking about like sort of struggles when you try to change things.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Gatsby is still amazing. Still super cool. It's like it's allowed me to build this project really quickly. And I have a version that works, and it's like, wow, it's like witchcraft.
Yeah. I built this in like a week.
Yeah. So it's just like, one of those things where I complain because I care.
Well, you're like doing like the V5. So, bleep that out.
Uh-oh. This is a family friendly show, you know?
You're doing the V5 stuff. I think that's actually our time. We're probably over time, but it's cool. We have more sponsors now, which we appreciate. Gotta take that time. Do you have any last like comments or questions or things you want the audience to know?
This is not so much so Gatsby is super cool. Definitely check it out. I have seen some people just kind of start using Gatsby for everything, which is cool, but I think definitely try to explore what is out there. Gatsby is great. It is not the end all be all for everything in React, which I've seen some people do. I don't know. It's one of those things where the more I get into Gatsby, I'm like, this is really cool for some things, but I'm definitely going to use I'm definitely going to use Create React App for other things as well. So,
I think it's it's just kind of become a default because it's the first thing I think of now. Yeah. Especially just, I don't know, Netlify makes everything easy. Oh, and yeah. Gatsby works with Netlify really well. But I want to explore other, you know, template engines. I think Next.js is one that kind of came up.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so many things out there to explore. This is a show about those tools. So we'll probably do a few more shows that are Cubs shows where we're going to try to make more projects with just whatever tools that we see. Gatsby's still great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not the only thing out there. So, yeah. Thanks for listening to today's show.
What a downer. We just ended this no show.
I know. I don't want to end it on that. I don't want to end it on that, like, sad turn. How else can we end this? The tool is getting better. They're experimenting with themes, and its other plugins are growing. I don't know.
Positive. Gatsby's great.
Yeah, definitely try it out if you haven't yet. Yeah. Worth a try for side projects, for any projects you're using, like GraphQL or using GraphQL calls. The thing is, like with Gatsby, I use it before on projects where I was just using it for like my internal like GraphQL within that project life cycle, and then I started running into like some more things as I talked about in this episode when I use it for external calls, which is fine, that's expected.
Well, how about this, for sites that have purely static data, I think GraphQL is amazing and probably the best choice right now. If it's just static data, GraphQL or Gatsby.js probably the best tool out there for this.
Okay, if you have dynamic data or like you're posting,
if it's dynamic data tool? Or you're mixing data. So if you're mixing if you're mixing like sometimes you want static, sometimes you want dynamic, sometimes you want whatever it is, I would check out either Next or just do it from Create React App or you know just another tool. For me, the Gatsby GraphQL API is super cool when I know where all the data is coming from, but when it's mixture between build time, between runtime, between client fetch time, that system is just a little too confusing for me in Gatsby. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with Gatsby.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like where I'm at right now is I've used it for a couple things. I like it. And I want to now compare it to other things out there that have also evolved in the same timeline.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
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 So okay. Thank you so much for listening to our show this week. And shout out to our sponsors, Sentry and Datadog. Remember to check out sentry.io for all of your test coverage needs and get a free t-shirt when you sign up for a free trial dashboard at datadog.com/toolsday. Also, shout out to our patron, Webflow. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon and keep doing awesome things. I've seen a ton of really cool things come out from Webflow lately. If you learned something or even just enjoyed our random banter and negativity on this show, please share this podcast with a friend or a coworker or leave a review. I feel like we covered a spectrum of things. We did the positive, the neutral. We did things that could use some work. I don't know. I think we did a nice little overview.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you
a little bit of everything.
If you share the show, leave a review. That's how people hear about the podcast and we kind of grow our audience base. We can get the word out there even more. So we really appreciate that. And that's all we have for today. So we will see you next time.